Oh
And we
my
are recording.
God, everybody. What? Another episode? So quick, so soon? But it's not about season four. It's another surprise and delight. Guys, welcome to Black Girl Charmed, a Charmed rewatch podcast with two Black girls, and this week, one Black boy. I
I need
am
to
your
be that contrast.
co-host, the mixiest Libra you know, Ray, joined by my co-host.
I am now. I, you know what? I am Karlach this week. I want to be loved, but I don't want to be touched. So that's why.
And we are also joined by
the sweetest cancer that you've ever met a day in your life, Galen. I didn't practice that. They came to the top of my head. Oh my God.
Cancers are not sweet. You guys are evil.
We absolutely are.
I'm fighting for my life. I have a 13-year-old who is a cancer, and I'm fighting for my life.
You are the problem then. I don't know any other way to tell you that, and I'm so
You know
sorry
what? You know
that.
what? And that's exactly how cancers think, that everybody else is the problem. It is y'all.
Okay.
Maybe he'll grow into the sweetness, because right now I'm fighting for my life.
Okay.
He came out pretty sour.
He did come out really sour. He did.
Okay,
And then I
wait.
got the Gemini.
Are we talking about a June cancer or a July cancer?
A June cancer.
Okay, I'm a June cancer. I'm a June cancer, so I think it's you. I really think it might be
He's
you
trying to
because
get me out.
I really tried to work with you, but I'm sorry, I can't. I can't.
Nah. That child is spoiled rotten. I do everything, and maybe it's the puberty, but he's
Oh,
always
there
been a
you
little
go.
snot.
We figured it out. We figured it out. So you didn't give us that piece of the puzzle. That's what it is.
I don't
Okay.
know.
Okay,
I
you
don't know. He's
spoiled him,
always
and
been a little
now
snot.
he's okay. I got you. Never mind. I got it all up here now.
No,
That's
because I distinctly she used to drop him off at like daycare, and he'd be like, "You don't love me. Why would you leave me here? You abandoned me." That was
He would tell
daycare.
random people in the grocery store that I would abandon him while I went to work. He was at
We are
daycare.
very expressive, and sometimes the emotion that we feel in the moment just has to be released. And so,
That
you
explains a
didn't
lot.
abandon him. However, I will say maybe you should have taken him with you. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not, I have nothing. I have no, I'm just saying.
You know
Our
what?
listeners who don't follow you on TikTok or Twitter, but I think you're hilarious on Twitter, tell us more about yourself.
Well, my name is Galen. I'm from Louisiana. I really started making like content around Charmed a couple of years ago, probably like 2021, somewhere in there. And I started making the Ratchet Charm series, which is like a voiceover thing that I do. And that was the very first like entryway for that was a weird thing to do, but with that, but that was kind of like my entryway into the Charmed community. And from there, it was just like it was a. I mean, I found so many people that I never thought I would just talking about this show, and it's been a beautiful experience, honestly.
What brought you to Charm, though? Like, what was your introduction to Charm?
My first ever episode was Charmed Again, Part One. It was actually Prue's funeral. Like, I remember. Okay, I have a horrible memory, but there are certain things that I can remember very well. My mama was watching it, half paying attention to it, and I sat down and was like, "Oh, we're at a funeral. Cool." And then, Phoebe has on like her, I don't even know what kind of coat, how to describe that. It kind of looked like what the Chinese Slayer had on in Buffy, the one that Spike took on the glory. It took like it looked like that. But anyway, and so like Phoebe dramatically falls down to the ground. I was like, "Oh." And then later on when Piper is trying to summon Prue and Graham stunt comes instead. I remember I didn't know that that wasn't her sister, and I was like, her sister is really old because I was 10, and this was the first time I had ever seen it. So, like, even though Graham's in the grand scheme of things, the actual actress was not old, in my mind, 10-year-old me saw it and was like, good Lord. I was like, Jesus, okay. And I just got hooked ever since. Like, I remember when it switched from Thursday to Sunday and the WB's Big Sunday, and I just been in it to win it ever since.
Wow. You were so talking about that jacket, and I was like, Phoebe was always trying to be Asian. She was the original Gwen Stefani.
I'm done
Every
with you.
season, now think about it. Every season, she had
Gwen
on some
Stefani is
chapstick.
Japanese in her heart. In her heart. Gwen Stefani is Japanese, okay?
Okay, but every time she always wears something Asian. I remember the episode where she was getting groped. She had her hair in like those Chinese chopsticks, and then had on like an Asian.
And she had on that it was a similar kind of like it was an Asian inspired top when Anton was fingering her. I don't know if I can say that. I'm sorry, I didn't say that.
It's not just me. It's not just me. Oh my god! Woo!
No,
I'm pretty sure we said that.
Listen, podcast.
You are. I'm pretty sure we said that.
Yeah. I've listened to you. I just wanted to make sure I had some sense because I didn't want to come up in here and start coming up.
No.
Because I don't want to offend anybody with that. Like, cussing is one thing, but talking about, you know, like,
every week,
explicit acts like that is different.
First of all, the name of the AKA last week was Assassinate This Puss. Okay? So.
Well. Yeah. Listen. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to, I know, because I know we're trying. And, like, his fingers were doing the walking, the talking, and the flipping. It was, I mean, it made me uncomfortable at a certain point, because I was like when, because you know, when they're in the past, I'm going to be quiet, okay. Well, no, I'm going to say this, you know, the makeup made Phoebe, the character of Phoebe look old, when she was like, and then like, he's got like, his hands like going down, and I'm like, oh my God, the fingers, what are we doing? And then it stops, and I'm like, he just grips her thigh, and I was like, oh, sweet Jesus. I was stressed. I get stressed every time I watch him.
Rest in peace, Tyler Christopher.
He was a real one.
I was going to make an inappropriate joke, but you can't make an inappropriate joke and after saying rest in peace. Although.
After rest in peace?
That funeral program I made sure for Detective Reese Davidson or Inspector Reese Davidson. Some of my best work.
It was your best work. It reminded me of the scandal days.
I already told y'all I miss TGIT. I want to bring it back. Y'all fumbled the Shonda bag.
I saw that. We fumbled the Shonda bag.
You didn't know how to
get away with it.
You don't know what you're missing.
I never did.
Like that first season.
It's really.
Let me say about TGIT.
Everything.
Every Thursday, as a community, as a collective, as a nation, we got together and watched Meredith Grey do some wild shit. Like, she didn't do that. She didn't jump on. She jumped on at 9 o'clock. I was there at 8 o'clock with Meredith and her homies.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I
used to be obsessed with it. I knew I was going to be a bird from a very young age when I watched her say, choose me. Marry me. Like, you better get him, girl. You better get that man, girl. And I would say, I was like, yep, one day I'm going to be an idiot just like her. And the only reason I ever wanted to watch How to Get Away with Murder was because Paris Geller was on there. Outside of that,
Paris Geller
and Roland Williams.
Paris Geller was that
the first season. The first season was really good. I don't think I ended up watching the final season.
I finished it. I did it. You know.
But you finished it. And you did it twice.
Yeah.
You did it twice.
I did it for y'all. Some kids are the devil, but.
So did you watch Scandal? Were you at least part of the Scandal?
I did not watch it as it was airing. I watched it after the fact, and I have not watched the full series. I've just watched like here and there.
If you want to talk about fingering, they was fingering and eating on Scandal.
Everybody was fingering.
even Emperor Palpatine,
the president,
the old man. Cyrus? Man. What's his name?
Yes.
Cyrus was stopping. Yes. Cyrus is a top.
I don't believe that. Let me hush. Let me stop. They didn't even have Toppin when he was young. It was just like two grunts in a circle. Like,
first of
no
all,
way.
Cyrus was getting an in on Scandal. He was getting
with everybody.
Bus,
like,
he was getting bus galore.
Really?
Yes.
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 Yes. Everybody was getting it in on Scandal. Her daddy. Everybody.
I can believe it. Okay, well, listen, I got something for her daddy, and I'm just gonna leave it at that. But.
Who don't?
So my thing was, I always wanted to meet Melly, the character of Melly, so that I could slap her. Because let me tell you something. There is no way. I don't care if we have a mutually beneficial relationship, if we were once in love and then I don't really care about that. It ain't no way you finna parade her up in front of me like that. And I know where you got. I would rather fight you in the street with nothing but a beaver as my weapon than I would allow you to disrespect me like that. There's no one.
I mean, she tried to stand up numerous times. And
she gets him back. She gets him back. There was power.
Did she kill him?
There's power there.
No.
No.
But
no, she didn't get him back.
Let me tell you, every other Thursday on Scandal, it was Olivia was getting eaten out on the Oval Office desk. She was getting eaten out at OPA.
It was everywhere.
It was everywhere.
She was maybe that's why she walked like her feet were hurting. Because, you know, God love Kerry Washington. She would kind of walk like, I'm a big person. I'm a big, big fella. And she kind of walked like I do sometimes, like okay, let me shift the weight.
I'm like, if you
it was were a weight carrying Thursdays on her back.
I was going to say that because everybody, Meredith got a walk. Annalise Keaton got a walk. Olivia Pope got a walk. Everybody got a walk. If you was on TGIT, you had to have a strut. Nope.
Yeah. And Olivia had the bottom lip quiver. She had the bottom lip quiver.
She did.
And it was about to be some shit.
Ooh, and a lob. Ooh, you knew when her lob was lobbing, you knew you were in trouble. Mm.
It always tickled me that it could be like 100 degrees outside and she'd be wearing like a trench coat. I don't think that she actually did. I just always remember her wearing a trench coat. I don't ever remember watching an episode where she was not wearing a coat of some sort. Like, yeah. Maybe I know I just get hot really
this
easy.
This is like off topic, but on topic. I feel like once you reach a certain tax bracket, you don't get hot anymore. Because I remember seeing Wale in the summertime in New York in front of like the library and he was in head to toe leather.
But
I am a guest here and have no idea what they're discussing. So
on that note, so as I've said before, we are, you know, looking ahead to season 4 and I thought, you know, we got a Paige hater in the house. Why not bring in a Paige lover to, you know, help us, not like explain season 4 to us, but explain why.
Why she got people who like her.
I was going to say how you stopped paying attention to the girl who was catching the Holy Spirit at the funeral. And then started paying attention to the girl who's like,
oh, baby, the Paige dance. Listen, my girl said, listen, legendary, iconic. She was the moment.
Paige is known for singing and dancing. Was she supposed to be the black sheep or like the black charmed one?
We have had this conversation before.
I think we're going a little far down because love my bae down. I love my bae down to death. The singing, I am shocked that Wyatt didn't put up his shield when she was standing there singing to him. Like, hush, baby, don't feel it. Oh, and you know Nate was trying to bust her down. Anytime he was like, oh, you got some pipes on you. Oh, okay. I have never been that physically attracted to a person that I would lie to them like this. And you already, well, I mean, hey, he was already lying about being married. Why not? What's another lie?
But when anyway, she was breathing, you remember that Bob's Burgers episode? Like, oil spew.
I just got that song out of my head.
Every time someone's like, oh, she really tore that episode up, all I can think of is when her voice goes and she's like, isn't it? And I'm like, thank God it's not. Because, sweet God, I don't know what you were finna sing, but girl, we didn't need that negativity in our lives. We didn't need that.
I feel like every WB show has to have a singing ass episode. And the fact that, I guess, like at that point, Holly and Alyssa were like producers. So you're like, you ain't doing this shit. Give it to her. Get that bitch to sing it. I got kids.
I am glad that it was not a musical episode. I will say that. I will say that because I feel like even though she sounded the way she sounded, her being, her liking singing made sense for her, like, artistic, creative side that they just kind of, like, let come and go.
Like Leo. What if we could eventually one day have a Charmed musical episode go up against the Grey's Anatomy musical episode? And
Grey's Anatomy had a musical episode?
Yep.
Imagine someone is coming into your gallbladder surgery and they're just like, like, girl, what?
First of all,
okay,
Dr. Bailey was on Broadway and Callie Torres was also on Broadway. So, you know, you got two Broadway vets. They're like, make them sing. Owen sings as well. Alex Karev sings. About sex, because it's Alex Karev.
Well, but he's a whore.
Yeah. Who gives people syphilis.
Oh, God.
Syphilis. Speaking of syphilis, why don't you like Phoebe?
Scary guy. Is Owen that guy that I thought was a vampire? Because the one that, whichever one was with Christina, I remember thinking Owen. He was either a vampire or like...
That's Owen.
Something. Yeah, he scares me. He scares me.
He be choking bitches and they sleep.
That does not shock me. He genuinely would, he looked like at any moment you wake him, he'd be like, ugh. Like, and he would just sit there and he'd just be looking at you. And I couldn't. That doesn't shock me.
Owen is a ginger who was at the Iraqi war or in the Iraqi war, who has severe PTSD. And he went to sleep one night staring at his girlfriend's ceiling fan and it reminded him of the helicopters that he had over at Baghdad. And then next thing you know, he was choking his girl out because, you know, PTSD.
Okay, so Olivia Pope is over there getting her cootie cat ate. Mm-hmm. And then Owen is over here killing people. What is going on Thursday night? That is one big bump. And I can't.
When Huck and Quinn were out here, like, torturing people and then having sex next to the body. Hot sex. Like,
I remember seeing some of them.
Books I read.
Quinn looks like she does that kind of stuff, though. Like, if you go in her house, I'm sure she has, like, insects that she was able to tie their little legs up, their little feelers. Like, she looked like that to me. And then she, like, eat them. I don't even know I don't know where to go with that. That Quinn lady. Quinn lady. That's all I got for you, the Quinn lady.
Quinn always reminded me of, like, the person who had all the weird porcelain glass dolls around their house, just, like, everywhere. That's what Quinn reminds me of.
I'm going to say it. Quinn would have the porcelain dolls, and so would Paige.
Okay. I agree. I can't not agree with that. I can see that. I can see why you would say that. I'm not going to 100% agree, but I do understand, in fact, how we evolved. I get it.
So, Huma on the Block is that you're not a Phoebe fan.
Sore, I have had a very interesting journey with the character of Phoebe.
Okay.
When I first started, like, talking about her on Twitter, I used to be very ornery when I was younger. And I would just go in with her, and people would message me and be like, you're too hard on Phoebe. And I was like, I think Phoebe's okay. I think she's all right. I think she can handle it. She's a big girl. She's a big fictional girl. And as time has gone on, I think the reason that I've started to soften towards her is the reason that Paige eventually became my favorite sister, which I know that may not go across well, but it's just because I started looking at the show from kind of a different lens, I think, as I got older. So while she still is a character, I will never hate anyone on this show as much as I hate Leo.
I mean, we're all Leo haters. Yeah. So tell us, why do you hate Leo? Mm. No way.
Because he was born.
Let him speak.
I was going to ask the same question.
Just because he was born, and then he helped to bring something like Wyatt into the world, an abomination. And
no,
let me stop. For real, the reason I do not like Leo, and like some characters I may not care for, I do not like Leo. He has okay moments sometimes, but as a whole, I don't care for the way that he was even brought into the show. He wasn't a helpful white lighter. He just came in. He, you know, got up inside and around Piper. And then he was like, I've got to go because I got in trouble. And then he comes back. Unfortunately, the dark lighter arrow does not stick. And then it's like season two, we do this weird song and dance. And he's literally, he does not care about Dan in any shape, form, or fashion. And I just think he saw Piper as his, and that comes out a lot over the course of the show, sometimes not in like the hugest way, but it does come out. At two different points, he gets upset that he can't spend time with Piper because she's spending time with her sisters and because they're close. And it's like, those are her sisters. And he's like, And even when Piper is literally crying over the loss of her big sister, the last authority figure that she has in her life, he's like, I'm your husband. And when you speak to me that way, nigga, shut up. Like, Leo does not contribute anything to this household except for healing them occasionally when he chooses and deciding when he wants to follow the rules. He has invited himself to lunch with Cole, who is a lawyer, or I think he was the assistant AD or whatever, ADA, whatever. And he has invited himself, and then he gets mad at Piper because he does not have the money to pay. Leo, you created that situation. And that's the kind of stuff that he does that just really ticks me off. But what really, I didn't like him before, and there was this like, towards him. But when I went back and watched A Mermaid's Tale, A Witch's Tale. I would say A Mermaid's Tale, A Witch's Tale. He is the one who tells Piper that she should be scared. Piper was cooling. Piper was happy. She had his seed in her belly, unfortunately. She finally felt like she was getting everything that she wanted. The source was gone. Phoebe was whatever, but we got something normal happening and going on in our lives for once. And he literally tells her, like, you need to be careful. And she's like, I just went down to the French to get a sandwich, Leo. And he's like, yeah, but your ancestors were stupid sluts like you, too. And look at what happened. And I'm like, what did the girl do? Like, what are you talking about? And it's, he is a perfect example of why witches and white lighters should not be together. Not just from the practical standpoint of the fact that he was more of a brother-in-law to her sisters than an actual white lighter, but that hypocrisy would kick in, and it was like, I know the dangers of being a witch, and you need to focus on that instead of trying to be happy. And then later on, he's like, well, the elder said you need to take care of the baby because your ancestors did it before. I don't know if you heard that or not. Leo, you're the one who told her. So, Leo disgusts. In a nutshell, Leo disgusts me. And then the whole, I've been watching, like, how giddy he was when he was like, you were such a cute baby. Leo, but that's part of the discussion.
I was going to say, that.
Ray has had that inside of her for years.
No, I was going to say, we didn't bring it up, and all hell breaks loose, but what happened that he pissed me off in that episode was when he finally orbs down to hell and is trying to be tough on Cole. I mean, tough on Cole and being like, I'm here to protect my family. Shut your bitch ass up. You always lying. You always lying. You're a liar. Like, what you lying for?
And even in that same episode, look at how he turned on them. The elders are trying to figure out how to clean up your mess. Leo.
Oh my gosh. It bothers me so much because the elders, nobody helped do anything. Like, go down and figure this out. Go talk to the source. But, you know, make him believe that it was his idea. Like, what?
The elders contributed nothing to the point where the source was able to come in and do whatever he wanted to do in that moment.
Nothing.
And Lily has the audacity. I can't even stand saying his name sometimes. He has the audacity to talk to them like that. And it's like, Then you got proof. You better white light a fire under your boss's butt. Bring out the arrow. I know somebody in that house had to have kept a dark light arrow at some point.
Prue
would have kept it.
Prue had it.
She did, because Prue was already a serial killer. So you know she had instruments. Prue kept it
because she kept the Balthazar flesh.
Which, yeah, she did. She probably, anyway. But yeah, that's Lily just, he makes me sick. The character makes me sick, and every time he comes, I think season two especially is when I cannot watch him. There's something about that,
so we understand.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm ranting.
No, we get it. We are with you.
It's not me this week, y'all. I'm here chilling. I just know. Because it's like, y'all want me to believe that this is his, like, Piper and Leo are soulmates when he didn't even catch a period cramp when Shax threw her through the wall?
Did you say a period cramp? No, I saw the video that you did about, the clip you posted about Blinded by the White Lighter. And he's doing all that extra, like he is Paul Rubens in the Buffy movie and falling down a wall. And he is just like cutting up. And then I love the fact that I love Natalie. And she's like, are you okay? And he's like, if only you could feel it. She was like, oh, I feel it. But I won't be ruled by it. I said,
I compared it to period cramps. Because every time you watch a man do a period simulator video, it's like, oh my God, y'all live like this?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, though. I have never thought about that. That is a very, very good point, which is why Natalie, or at least some female white lighter, should have been their white lighter from the very beginning. But that's a discussion.
But the fact that we saw him have a guttural reaction to a charge that wasn't even his, but your wife is on her deathbed and you just like, oh, what y'all need, huh?
This lady is bleeding out of her nose.
Hold on. Let's not forget, though, that after all of that, neither White Lighter went to go save these girls.
It was part of the
master plan. Don't go. And
I'm not trying to be that person, but she was black. And so it just makes me feel like
we were that person.
I'm gonna just say it multiple times. I'm gonna just say it. The elders wanted Prue out of the way because Prue was gonna be a problem. Because Phoebe gonna be lost over her man. Piper gonna be lost over her man. Prue was gonna be the one to be like, y'all fucking up. I can do this shit better than y'all. You know what? Fuck this shit. Let me come up there. And they can't have that. That's why they got out the picture.
No, they were just going to give her a man. They wouldn't give her a man. They wouldn't give her a photography contract. And she'd have been good.
They would have gave her some ugly ass man, too. And I would have been pissed. Every time Prue had a love interest, he was some mid ass man.
Right. So not only was he going to be ugly, but his personality was going to be mid and stink.
I really think, now he wasn't going to work out, but I really think there was more of a plan with Justin. And then they were just like, never mind. Yeah. I'm not saying that Justin would have worked, but I feel like there was supposed to be something, and I've come up with my own little storyline with that.
Because they were the same person. He had Liz, she had Liz. They were clicking, and then he turned out to be boring. Mm-hmm. Like, he would have been boring from day one. Are you calling yourself boring? Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening.
And he would have been better than Jack, but...
A dog would have been better than Jack.
I was going to say Leo was better than Jack. Never mind.
No, because Jack had a job. Every time they
at least Jack had a job.
Every time Jack went out, he said drinks was on me. Jacko was paid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Paige.
Oh, God, that man.
You know, because
yes.
You start talking about Jack, you start talking about Leo, we're going to get pissed, and we're going to be here all night. So, you find Paige annoying, and you find Paige endearing. I am just like, well, the show needed to go on, so I guess here we are. What was your favorite season 4 Paige moment, and what was your worst season 4 Paige moment?
For me?
And you can't say what I'm going to, I know what you're going to say. Not that episode. Not Long Live the Queen.
No, okay.
Honestly.
Well, you can say long live the queen, Galen. She can't say long live the queen because she's a hater.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
I am a hater.
My favorite Paige moment in season 4, I think, is probably when she tells Piper, it is okay to hate Prue. For a multitude of reasons.
Yeah.
I think that gives us a good window into who Paige is going to be. And who we need to perceive her to be. Because as you're coming in, especially to this dynamic, a family dynamic, you have to give us, like, how is this character going to fit? And I think that that moment showed us she was going to be open to helping Piper, whether Piper was going to be open to her or not. Mm-hmm. And that's why that's my favorite moment for her, is just because I think she got a chance to relate. And I think she got a chance to open herself up and be vulnerable, probably to something that she's with, something she's never really told anyone, that when her parents died, she hated them. That's a big statement to make out loud. And Piper dealing with that was why she literally. So I just love that moment of openness with her. And I love that she saw through. She was able to be an outside party that could see through Piper's pain, where Phoebe was dealing with her own stuff and was trying to internalize it and say, Phoebe, you blame me, because she, but she wasn't looking at it from, oh, I was involved in this. It's like, she's actually helping Piper to work through it. And I think that set a really good tone for who Paige was going to be as a character from my perspective.
That was such a good moment.
If I had to pick a worst Paige moment.
Because it goes from that to like, it really, how could you leave me?
She should have told Piper to hate Phoebe because it was all her fault. So hate Prue, hate Phoebe. That bitch was rolling in the hay.
She was.
Not rolling in the hay. She literally was. Why was there just hay down there? They got the demons sleeping like sheep? Like, what's happening?
What was that?
I don't know what they're paying, but...
They ain't got no beds in hell. They only got hay. I feel like there'll be a fire. I'll touch you, bitch.
We can ask Prue, because you know Prue is burning for eternity. Love my girl. Oh, yeah, Prue is in hell, baby. Prue is in hell. I'm sorry.
Why Prue
murdered half of San Francisco. Prue is in hell. Because she killed everybody that she encountered. She was killing people from season 1. That's why she kills the dream sorcerer. Now, let me go back, because this is a joke.
He needed to die.
I don't want people to be like...
He needed to die.
He did. He was very disturbing. But I love when she kills Miss Hellfire and she's like, I've never killed a human before. Yeah, you have. You have. You've killed a human before. And she killed him. She killed Miss Hellfire. She killed Sam. She killed Piper. She killed Dr. Williamson. Like, she was going to kill Pratt. My girl was going on a murdering spree in season 2. And
she did.
I just
decapitate somebody.
Yeah. Like, she... That man is in his grave right now because Prudence was like, we're done playing around. Oh, okay.
It's what they deserved.
You know what?
I don't want to be the hero that Gotham needs, but I'm the one that just... Like, yeah.
We called her Batman. Well, I called her Batman in the Look Who's Barking episode. And see? Prue is Batman, but also... They think we're the demons now, Leo. That bitch went full villain. That bitch went
They think we're the demons now. Joker's gonna come after us. And I'm like, because I have been saying for years, I don't know why, whenever I try to do her voice, I always sound like Batman. And then when I try to do Little Prue, I always sound like Paul Lynde. And I don't quite understand why it would. Mom said you're not supposed to freeze people. You're gonna get in trouble. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why. I just, like, when it comes to Prue, I just, I don't know. I have no idea.
Foolish. let's see. Still waiting on your worst.
Worst Paige moment in season 4.
I don't think I have a
Paige moment. Okay, see, now I feel like this is a setup. Okay, in season 4. Because I really liked her in season 4. I feel like, okay, if I had to pick a worst Paige moment in season 4, I feel like it would probably be the Enchantress episode.
The accent?
What? made you see something in a book of magic and spells and decide to read it out loud? Like, I don't understand that.
Because she's and a Halliwell at heart. How do you think they became the charm ones? Phoebe saw some random ass book and was like, let me get to reading.
And not just read it out loud. And it's like, she's already laid up in bed, tatois out to the wind. You see that sword right there? It goes with the dagger, and then it goes into the cheese, and then we make some croutons. And Glenn is just looking at her like, you are so stupid. And she's just sitting here living her best life with this whole little story. And she remembers her. And then at this point, I know she's still new to the craft. But she should have been able to hear what she was saying and been like, that sounds strangely like a spell. And instead of asking her sisters about it, she just barges into the house, looks in the book, and for some reason it's in there, and then she reads it out. So it's like, yeah.
Funny so enough, that's my homeboy from How to Get Away with Murder is the prince in that episode.
Really?
Yeah. What's his, the one who hooks up with Laurel, that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Have y'all ever seen Princess Bride?
Ugh, I hate a long Princess time Bride. Ago,
I haven't.
I like that. What?
Princess Bride.
Did you say are you saying you've never heard it?
No, I've seen it. I've seen it. I don't
know.
No, like
I'm talking
it.
About now.
No, no, no. I've watched it. I haven't seen it recently. Like recently.
Oh, I was like, oh Lord.
No, 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 so, no. I'm just shocked that you hate it.
I don't know, there's something, the As You Wish was not that, I don't know. I'm not a Princess Bride person. I don't know, it irritates me. Okay. I'm like okay. Elaine Bennis in The English Patient.
Bring that up because he always gave me like the evil version of the Prince Carl, I can't think of how to say his last name.
Mm-hmm.
He just always looked like he was like the bastard version of him. They had the same father, but he was born of like
he was
a brothel maid or something, and so he didn't get a chance to grow up in the castle. I don't know. I can't even really explain what it is. But he just always seemed like that to me.
You know what? Come to think about it, everything between Glenn and Paige irritates my soul. It makes me like break out in hives.
You were crazy.
I can't. Never mind.
Yeah, the whole thing where like when Glenn steals the book. And it starts, like, reading and making spells out of it, like...
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
Paige should have never been introduced.
That's, get that weasel out of here.
Paige should have never been
introduced. So... I can't say that. Never mind. I'll tell y'all that later.
I mean, you can say it and we can edit it out.
Number one is going to be like, you're young, let's move to Australia. And it's like, as soon as I heard him say that, I was like, yeah, we... Glenn ain't gonna be on here that long. He probably got another couple of episodes in him and then we out of here. That's why some stuff I have to really focus on putting a part of the story because I will just dismiss it in my mind.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's so funny because that's like my biggest gripe with Phoebe because you guys are doing gangster shit every week and you're not acting like gangsters.
But that also somebody then plays me. Into the fact that they're also written by men, right? So you also have that white male game as well. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because it's like somebody posted a clip of Forget Me Not. And the whole thing is supposed to be like, oh, we got out the house and we really cut up. And it's like, Phoebe's got a wedgie up in the air. And then Paige is screaming for a jacket. She's like... great job, Kanisha. I love your jacket. And it's like, do you even really know her name? I feel like that lady's name was like Jill and she just called her Kanisha or whatever name. Like, she didn't even know her name. Like that's why the woman was really confused. She was like, who the fuck is she talking to? She's like, she's talking to me. My name is Lauren. Like, why are you calling me Kanisha?
I almost went on a Twitter rant. I think it was last week. Somebody had posted about Wyatt and how he was the most powerful. And I was like, because it's misogyny. And in this thesis, I'm right.
Yes. That is why I firmly believe that Wyatt was an abomination and that Gideon was right. And so people will be like, so are you saying that Gideon should have unalived the baby? That's not what I said. I said that Gideon was right. So the method of carrying out being right can be wrong, but the message can still be right. So should his powers have been stripped? Probably. Should his parents have never been allowed to get together? Maybe.
Definitely.
Yeah, actually, yes. But, and then Lillian wouldn't have been sitting there with her chompers falling out of her mouth talking to Piper.
Leo came to me in a dream. He was bathed in the most beautiful white light.
And he told me I was to move on and that there would be another love.
And it's like, it's not, Casey, it's so... When it's not me, I'm so happy. Oh, man.
Let me hush.
So I think I reviewed, I was, as you guys were talking, I was reviewing the season IMDb. 4 episode, trying to figure out exactly where and when I hated Paige. So I always hated Paige. Like, coming in, like, how dare you come into the Power of Three? Who do you think you are? I hate you. And then she had Glenn, and I hated Glenn. So it was just all of that compiled. But the fifth Hallowell, that bitch started talking about Cole.
Oh my God. Are you talking about when he started gaslighting this lady and her booty crack was out?
Yes.
Is this victim blaming that I'm hearing? Because I think it is.
100%. I guess, like, I don't know you long enough to be talking about my man. Okay, I lost my sister over this man. How dare you come and try to tell me.
So tickled at Phoebe dramatically and not dramatically at the same time going, oh, not again. And like, because she doesn't say anything after that. She just sits there, she's like, oh no, not again. And then she just stares like, and I was like, y'all couldn't have thought of some dialogue to put in between there? Y'all couldn't have thought of a sound, a grunt, a cry, something? You just had her just stop talking?
I'm saying okay. This purely for the SEOs, but Phoebe Hallowell is Taylor Swift because your man is a mass murderer. Like, let's keep it funky. He's a mass murderer.
But he wasn't a Nazi. Okay? He was not a Nazi. How dare you?
He wasn't not a Nazi. Just like, we don't know that either.
We don't know that. He was alive during that time. We don't know what Cole was doing during that time.
And we definitely know who... He might have been Willie Lynch people.
I mean, Prue loved a cop. These girls don't care.
Well, Prue was killing people herself, though.
This is why I just sat here and did this. Because, you know what? One of y'all is going to take it there. As long as it's not me. As long as I have to say, damn it, Ray, in editing, in post. It's fine.
My favorite Paige episode is the one following right after and the hatred and smoke she had for that unborn child.
Baby. Because the baby was eating her up. So she had to do something. Because the baby was eating her alive. Pushing her out windows, punching her, slapping her. Whatever you could think of to do. So,
was it really the baby or was it Phoebe?
If it hadn't been for that little whoop sound when the baby would take over her arm, and did we really hear that later on?
Because
we didn't hear it.
You just reminded me. She said, "Oh no, not again." She wanted to put hands and feet on Prue for not liking Cole, but she knew Prue was going to dog walk her ass. You couldn't levitate your way out of this.
It's not me. It's the baby.
It's the baby. And then, like, when she very stiffly pushed Leo out of the way at the end of the episode, and they're like, Phoebe, the baby. And she's like, no, that was me. And I was like, is that why you're walking like a robot? So you're a robot? Is that what you're trying to tell us? Are you coming out right now? Anyway.
So speaking of that demon baby, are we all on the same page that because Piper drank that elixir, that's why she got pregnant?
I do not think that, actually.
You think the elders was helping Leo out? Like the scamming ass motherfuckers they are?
I'm going to tell you why I say that. I know that it was supposed to be open to, you know, receiving sperm and things like that. But the amount of time between that episode versus when Piper actually fell pregnant with the spawn, I just feel like, I feel like the two aren't correlated, but then with the way magic works, maybe it healed her body and then she just started kind of like over. It was like a reset, but then she went to the doctor and the doctor was, you know, telling her like it's going to be very difficult. So I kind of think that it was like a destiny slash fate thing, and it stepped in and was like, you were supposed to have a baby at this time and so much has changed, we're not gonna put that off on you. That's my perception of it, especially because the Angel of Destiny and his bald head is the one who told her in the first place. So I kind of feel like it was kind of him being like, oh yeah, by the way, we got you.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's like, no matter what you chose, it wouldn't have changed you and Leo's personal destiny. That was cute. Because mm-hmm. Phoebe nosy ass is the first one to put two and two together.
And Paige is just kind of standing there looking like, when she's like, don't you get it? And Paige is like, and I feel like Paige didn't really know what she meant. I feel like Paige is me. I just want to be a part of the moment.
No, Paige was tight because she's no longer the baby anymore. A real baby's coming through.
Well, but you know what, though? I don't think Paige ever saw herself as the baby. I really don't. I do not think she ever saw herself as the baby in the same way that Phoebe did. Phoebe probably was looking at it like that when Paige came in. Like, I'm not the baby anymore, but
well, yes.
We really don't even hear Paige acknowledge. I'm so sorry. I did not mean to cut you off.
No, you're right. I was like, yeah, you're right, because Phoebe has that I'm the baby moment, and then she's like, where her and Piper have that one-on-one conversation about being the middle kid. Like, it's mm-hmm. not, it's not fun, ain't it, huh? Stupid bitch.
And we don't ever really hear Paige acknowledge being the youngest child until I think like season 7 with Lady Godiva, when she's like, well, sometimes I feel whatever about being the youngest, and Piper's just like, get over it. And she's like, okay. So she's like, girl, we've been through a lifetime of this, you gotta let that go. And Paige immediately is like, hey,
well, you know what, she spent most of her life as an only child, so
yes, which is why I think towards the late, and I know we're going into season 4. Mm-hmm. Y'all are going into season 4. This is a part of why I appreciate Paige's character, though. I think she always had that only child syndrome, and it conflicted really heavily with her just being a sibling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that's why in some of the later seasons she feels like she doesn't belong, because she really doesn't. She literally does not belong in these people's lives. Not
and I think that's why I don't like her, because she did not belong.
and the reason that I really, that resonates with me is because I felt like that a lot throughout my life. It's like I didn't belong in places, which is why I take like my charm discussions and things like that very seriously, is because for me, that's my way to let other people feel like they have that place where they can come. And it's like, what, you know, because I hear a lot of people tell me like, oh, I didn't have anybody I could talk to about charm. Nobody I know watches it, things like that. And so that feeling that I had of being kind of right here and everybody else is over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I rectify it. And that's why when I look at some of the later seasons and I hear the way they sort of talk, like Paige was just always there so that they, and by they, I mean the writers, mm-hmm. so that they could kind of make it easier for themselves. Like, oh yeah, I've been listening to you since the 7th grade. And Paige is like, uh-huh. And you know, I wonder what it would have been like if mom and dad had both raised us. And Paige is like, I don't know. And I think that was their way of just kind of being like, we need to have this moment and we can't really acknowledge that you were not here for that. And I think that's why she feels so out of place a lot, especially because they didn't really have, I don't think, a solid story for her mm-hmm. after season 4 when her time was done.
Because she was only supposed to be there for what, the one season? And she says that.
Yeah, like the,
she says a yeah. lot.
And I think that is indicative sort of like if their situation was real, what really would have happened? Because Paige, I mean, as far as like needing a third sister after season 4, that was done. They did not need another, you know, and I hate to boil it down to that, but that's why another reason I think she fights so hard to find her place in their family is after season 4, she feels like, or she may feel like, she doesn't really have a place there anymore because, okay, well, we vanquished the source. We got, you know, we avenged Prue.
I mean, it's weird though, because with Paige's introduction, Piper don't see it for her, don't give a fuck. Lily is like, not another fucking sister.
Not another one. I thought I finally got rid of this one.
But isn't even that weird? Like, the elders clearly had to have known that she existed. Why did Leo not know? Why did
Leo don't ever know anything? Leo never. He skips every morning staff meeting. So why would he know anything?
He does.
And I feel like with Phoebe initially, which was very weird, and like, girl, Phoebe assists a little bit more. The minute she realized that Paige was her sister, she was so happy and like welcomes her in. Like, hi, another P. I'm so happy. I was like, bitch.
I mean,
yeah. Well, here's the interesting thing about that, though. We see a little glimpse of that with Aviva. She does the same thing with Aviva. And I think it was more that there's someone else now that in her mind she can is going to look up to her.
Yeah.
She gets to be big sister now. She gets to, you know, and then in the midst of everything happening with Prue, I think that was her way of processing is like, well, I'm going to focus on being a big sister. Now, it took me a long time to come to this because when Phoebe was crying over that pissy jacket, girl, get away from me. That's the best you got? Piper is up here breaking down, snotting in front of this woman's grave. She got mucus all up in somebody's flowers. And the best you got for me is, I just wanted to keep it together. And then she completely stops crying to get the box of tissues. She's like, thank you.
That's the best you got for me? Candace from Real Housewives of Potomac.
Don't do my Candy girl like that. Don't do my Candace like that. Because Candace does fake cry sometimes. But and when she gets to dabbing with the triangle, I can't.
I think
I love it though, when she cried, you could just see her getting ready to just put it together and she folds it.
And she gets it, she's preparing it.
She's prepared. So
it's like sitting there, like she's like, okay, you got about 5 more good seconds.
That's how I know she know how to roll weed real good, because the minute she gets to crying, her fingers start to like start folding. Like, all right,
it's just an automatic response.
It's funny though.
Go ahead.
Okay, it's funny though because with Grams, you see Grams trying to fake this relationship. Like, her and Paige have been best friends forever. Like, I'm your Grams. Hey, remember me? I used to bake you cookies. Like, no, you and my whack ass mama dropped me off at the church. We ain't cool. Don't try to be my friend now. Fuck y'all. I already got a Grams.
That's because Grams was a domineering individual who wanted to control everyone's life.
Yep.
And so she did not know how to handle someone not being a part of that puppetry, which is why I know Paige knew exactly who that woman was. And when she walked in and she said, oh, y'all already hiring nannies or interviewing nannies, she ate that woman up. And, you know, that's why I hate by the end of the episode, Graham, you know, her saying Grams, because I don't think Grams earned it. She didn't earn being her Grams because, like Paige said, I had one. Right. She, like, we were cool. You're not her. And the show didn't acknowledge, I think, Graham's actual role in everything because they were just trying to move past that story. Like, okay, we got to set it up. We got to put her in here. We're going to, you know, say like, well, I mean, I knew it would be a disaster, you know, and we just do that real quick and then we, you know, move on. But Graham's made that decision. Patty, for whatever reason, was not standing up to it and agreed to it. Penny, so it's like
Patty was a punk.
She was a punk. Don't get me started.
Patty lived on her knees, and that's all I'm gonna say.
Patty won.
Go ahead. No, because I was gonna change it. So finish your statement.
I was just gonna say Patty wanted at least one of her daughters dead. I don't even think it mattered which ones, because why are we in the water twice with two separate daughters? They are at the bottom of the sea/pool, drowning down, and you decide to come in and have a whole discussion with them. Prue, you have to open your heart to them, Prue. I know you can't breathe and your brain is probably shutting down just like mommy. But just remember that your sisters are you, Prue, and you're them. And then Piper is down here pregnant. Water is filling her lungs. All of her organs are being soaked in seawater. And here comes Patty. Piper, you don't want to leave your baby the way I left you. And I know that I had to go to Target that day. And I forgot my way home. It was a very sad situation. I forgot to put gas in the car. Meanwhile, Piper can't breathe. Piper and her baby cannot breathe. And you are down here giving us a monologue. Patty wanted one of them girls with her, at least. And then I think she came to Piper in season 5 because she couldn't get Prue because Prue was in hell.
Okay, so in 4-1, Graham's just like, Prue can't come to the phone right now. Does she hang out with y'all?
Mm-hmm.
Be real enough for her. She need to hang out with us to like accept that she did. So you think after she accepted it, they like gave her the boot and was like, "This is Sparta," and then kicked her?
No, they just had her. They had her with the You remember the scene when Andy died and they had her sitting on the bench?
She in purgatory,
just chilling. That's where she was. She in purgatory.
I love and respect the fact that you think Prue even made it up there to get kicked out. When Piper picked up AT&T, that's why Prue didn't come, because Prue literally couldn't hear the call. And Grams heard it and was like, "Well, Patty, now I've got to go burst your daughter's bubble." And that's why she comes up with a little story. And she's just like, "You can't see her right now because her cashmere sweater just isn't really meshing well with her jeans. And so she can't really come to the door and you won't be able to move on. And your destiny still awaits. And look over there." Like, she was grabbing what she was going to say. She was coming up with it on the fly. She knew Prue was not coming to answer that call, but she just didn't want Piper to be hurt. So she's like, "Is she okay?" And Grams is like,
"Stop cutting."
I mean, this is, like, yeah. I have not read the comics, and we do plan to read the comics as part of the pot if we get our hands on them. But isn't it like you have all of them?
Joe got me them for Christmas.
Oh, that's right. Jose got you them for Christmas. I didn't get that for Christmas, but it's okay. It's fine. It's whatever. Isn't it like it's part of the story, right? That she's in heaven and she's still the big bad, and she ends up saving them in one of the seasons, the book season.
So she entered into another witch's body because she was just so connected to the power of three and she couldn't let her destiny go. And the witch's soul was stolen by the same lady in season 1 who stole Jackson. I was gonna say Jackson Hewitt. Jackson
Ward,
whatever his last name was. So Ward, Jackson Ward. I was gonna say Jackson Hewitt, and then I was gonna say Jackson Montgomery. I was gonna go to all my children, so I had to bring it back. Anywho, and so my hypothesis is that Prue knew she was about to burn for eternity. And so she stole this woman's body because she was like, "I'm not going to go down there after all the good I did." And it was kind of like what Marie Laveau should have done when she's like, "But after all the good I did." And then like, "But yeah, but you were sacrificing babies." So, you know, 6 to 1, half a dozen to the other. And I feel like that's why Prue stole that woman's body. But
I do have one more question for you. So, I know this is in season 4, and we get into it, I think, season 5, but I think she is the big bad and the big black bad, right? So the seer. What are your thoughts?
Oh, girl, I was like, wait, what are we talking about here? This is a shameless plug, and I'm going to do it, but I actually have a video about the seer on my YouTube channel where I rewrote her storyline and how I would have handled her. Yes. The seer was severely underutilized, and I think that by the time they told us that she was the one that was concocting this plan, it was already too late. She was already essentially gone. All these abilities that she had, these precognitive abilities, she's very smart. She knew to keep an eye on Phoebe, and she still didn't know that the baby's power was going to overwhelm her. Really bothers me, but I wish they would have gone a little bit deeper, I think, into how far back she was manipulating things. I don't know that I would have necessarily gone back as far as season 1 or anything like that, but at least season 3, I would have retroactively said she manipulated this situation and that situation. She's the one who sent Cole to Phoebe in the first place. She convinced the source to assign Balthazar to the Charmed Ones, blah, 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 because she foresaw. And I think they missed out on the opportunity to really show us how deep a demon with precognitive abilities could go in a plan like that. Because if we're just being honest, premonitions, visions, things like that are probably one of the most potentially deadly slash useful abilities in really any franchise, mm-hmm. not just in Charmed. And I think instead of taking the opportunity to really show us how she could have cut up, it was just kind of like your generic, oh, she's going to take a baby. Oh, she's the one who orchestrated this and she's been pulling the strings with Cole. Oh, da-da-da-da. I think they also missed a chance on telling us that she's tired of being adjacent to power and she wanted it for herself after serving multiple sources. Like, you're telling us that she served multiple sources specifically so we know how powerful and how useful she's been over the centuries. So utilize that for a storyline. I would have had her be in season 5. Like, season 5 would have been her season as the villain, not just a secondary villain. And I just hate that she was a victim of, we don't know what to do with her itis. She, like, I mean, and it's easier for me to say that in retrospect as a person who's watched it 1,000 times mm-hmm. and I've had time to concoct and think and plot and plan, but it's almost like they didn't really try. Like, once she saw her opening with the source being gone, it was like, oh, now I know what I'm going to do. And then she just goes from there. So they just fumbled the ball with her really, really bad. And I think she could have been one of their best. I really think if given the opportunity, she had the potential to rival Zanku as their best villain.
I feel like that would have been perfect. And that would have worked. That would have helped the Phoebe and Cole storyline a lot. I've been saying this for the past 2 weeks or past 3 weeks or whatever, that the whole, he wasn't under a spell when he killed that witch. He did that of his own volition. You know, it was, you know, the seer and Rhaenar working together to make this happen or whatever. And that would have been perfect because he killed that woman for his daddy's soul. And that's not a spell. And that would have been perfect. And that would have put, she is such a good actress, and to be so underutilized, God. No wonder you're about to say all my children because of her and all my children.
I think that probably is what made me think about that, because when I thought about Jackson Montgomery, I was like, all my children, but that's true. Mm-hmm. That's probably why it was even on my mind in the first place. My Angie Hood.
What do you think the dynamic would have been with Prue, Piper, and Paige?
Another shameless plug. I actually have a fan fiction about that. No, I got Prue, Phoebe, and Paige. Did you say Prue, Piper, and Paige? Or Prue, Phoebe, and Paige? That's a more interesting dynamic. I don't know, because I don't think Piper would have been as hateful towards Paige because it was Prue, Phoebe and not Prue that would have been wrong. Because I think Piper was really struggling because she was by herself. She felt like she was by herself now. Like, now I have to carry this load. And so in a world where Prue is still alive, I will say that I do think Prue probably would have been overprotective of Paige. And I recently had some back and forth with people because they were like, Prue would have hated Paige.
Coming from the source's mouth?
I don't see it. Prue said
she was never going to hate Paige.
Yes, yes. And then someone was like, oh, they were just being cordial. And I was like, baby. I think to understand the character of Prue, from my perspective, that this does not make me right. I'm not the authority on these women from San Francisco. I think that to know the character of Prue is to know how seriously she takes family. And so even if she didn't like Paige as a person, I think she was always going to try to protect her as a sister. Because even Piper was like, you know, we can't let the bastard get Paige. Even she was like, I'm not going to let you win after you already took Prue from us. So I think Prue would have gone doubly hard trying to protect Paige. And that probably would have ruffled Paige's feathers and caused maybe a little bit of friction. But I think that's where Piper would come in sort of as that mediator that she's always been. But now she's having to get to know Paige as an adult and be her I don't even think Piper would look at it as being her big sister. I genuinely think Piper would have had the opportunity to know Paige as a friend in that dynamic, as opposed to coming into it being like, I have to protect her because she's my big sister. I have to be the big sister. And so given the opportunity to just sort of breathe, yes, she's still grieving Phoebe, but it would have been like, let me at least get to know her. And there would have been some sort of a bond. I think Prue probably would have gone really hard to a point where she would just break down, whether that's crying, whether that's whatever. There would be a point where she would just like
to see the rift between Prue, Grams, and her mom. Because how the fuck you gonna lie to me? No. To Big Prue? To Prue, dog? She would have felt so betrayed that they hid Paige from her.
Yeah. Especially after the death episode.
She would have been furious. Mm-hmm. And that would be good TV.
Because they never really take that into consideration story-wise. No. Nobody ever sits down and thinks, like, these people lied to us. Grams lied to us our entire life. And I think that goes back to that superiority thing that Grams had, where she thought every decision she made was right.
Right.
And so, from a storytelling perspective, it's like, oh, well, see, Grams is right about this. The elders would have, for some reason, taken all the Charmed One's powers because their mother had a baby with a white lighter. That doesn't make any sense. But hey, we were working with what we had. But I think Prue would have been the one that would call them out on that and be like, so you looked us in our face.
Remember, every she was like, day. You just thought mommy was getting fat. Knew. All right.
You never knew I was pregnant. You just thought mommy got a little fat. Why are you smiling in that, ma'am? What about that made you happy? Why are you giggling? What is the... You just thought mommy
she was giggling. Got I can't believe y'all dumbasses that believe that shit. I got some dumbass kids.
Right. She was like, let me talk to my children like they're stupid real quick. And then they'll be like... And Piper and Phoebe are just like, I never knew. Girl, I would have just rather you say that they just did a memory spell. But anyway, that's a whole other... That whole... Anyway, let me shut up. I could get on that and then I'll stay on that.
So, as a season 4 faithful, because, you know, I still got the traitors in my heart, what advice, words of wisdom, what gems can you give me, the hater, you know, the audience?
Hater?
We established this last week that I'm an old West Indian woman and you're an old West Indian hater.
If you are a hater of season 4/Paige, I think it is important to keep in mind at all times that Paige does not know these people and they don't know her. And the reason I know that's a very basic thing for me to say, but I think that really puts a lot of things into context because they're having to be sisters in a time where they do not know each other. And season 4 has it on full display to the point where, like, by long live the queen, Paige is actively trying to, like, oh, my family is falling apart. And I can see where someone will be like, girl, you don't even know them, but she really doesn't. And I think that's her way of trying to be a part of them. Because another thing in this, and I'm not adopted, I don't, so I can't speak for people who are, but I always think about when Inspector Jesus, which whatever his name was, Cortez, was he Cortez?
Timbuktu?
Yeah, with his little Timbuktu. You sent him
to Timbuktu. It was the only thing that Ryan did not do. Yes, that was Cortez.
Think about that when he tells her that she looked like Prue, because that is probably the first time in Paige's life she has ever heard that she looked like someone. And they were biologically related. And that's really significant to think about because she's hearing it about a dead person. A person who just died is who she is now hearing that she looks like. That she'll never get a chance to meet. You know, that she has never known. That is her sister that she's never known. That she was stalking from a distance. That is true. But I say that to say, when we watch season 4, I think it's really important to understand, like, this is Paige's first time in a family dynamic like this. Not just a family, I mean, because she had parents, but this is her first time as a sibling. This is her first time having to work through things with people. And I think as a social worker, she understands what trauma is, but then she's also trying to really work through how she feels about the situation. So you do get things like Charmed and Dangerous when Piper's concubine is saying, like, they need you in the kitchen. And she is reminding him, like, I have people that I'm helping as well. So she's in season four, she's doing a lot of trying to balance herself while also really trying to relate to this family who, and I know this might not make much sense, but Piper and Phoebe, or I hope it does, but Piper and Phoebe know mm-hmm. what that family dynamic is. So they know what the sibling unit is like, you know, things like that. They know what it's like to stick together. Paige does not have that. And it can seem kind of annoying at times when Paige is kind of like fighting back on with them, like Size Matters, A Night to Remember, episodes like that. But she really is operating from a place of having to always regulate herself.
Piper was calling her a half-breed most of the time. To me, so.
Piper was calling her a half-breed as soon as she met her. As soon as she met her. And then she went on to have a little half abomination herself.
That Piper ain't a little bit racist? That half-breed came out.
Piper's very racist. Oh, and no one can tell me that she's not. Because just from the episode, Ex Libris. The episode where Prue is going out of her way to help that black man, and Piper does not even use any magic that episode. It's not even just that she doesn't want to get involved. Piper does not use any magic. She doesn't say a spell. She don't freeze nobody. I don't even think Piper knew where the Book of Shadows was that episode. When Prue was like, hey, can you look at this? And she shows him the picture. She's like, okay, it's a monkey. What? What do I do with this? And Prue was like, no, he's sitting on a bench. Okay, three little monkeys sitting on a bench. Now what? Like, you can tell.
Take that out. First of all, I know Daryl will never use the front door because Piper make him use the service entrance.
Yeah. Just don't even come in at all.
He'll come in. Really? He's sitting at the door. He'd be leaning on the door frame like, again, y'all bitches. Again, y'all gonna make me use my guy.
Piper would randomly call him Morris. And I'm like, you've known this man for years. Why are you saying, yeah, we turned him over to Morris? Piper, you've been to this man's house. Like, well, never mind. He's been to your house. Like, what do you mean?
We
knew.
They ain't really have it.
I'll say the only reason why they started getting cool is when she started having kids, because she needed to know what a mother looked like, especially a black mom. Like, all right, I know y'all good at taking care of kids. Let me see, Sheila, how you take care of your children.
Not Sheila being a wet nurse.
We're all getting canceled.
I mean, if we... So.
We're all getting canceled, right?
They come on this podcast. They're coming on Nexus.
Jesus.
Oh, no. You maybe have to do, like, some, what is that thing called? Not OnlyFans. Yes.
Patreon? Yes. A Patreon?
We have to do a Patreon.
Yeah. Let this be a Patreon thing. Oh, Lord. I'm just thinking now. I shouldn't even have said all of that. God.
I mean, you came on here. It was a wrap. Not the hatred. This one has really.
Listen.
Leo, Jamal, Brian, Wyatt.
Don't you dare put anybody of importance.
Oh my God.
Don't you dare.
Not her being just don't you dare. Oh my God. Oh no.
Don't you dare. Don't you.
So wait,
don't
does that
dare.
Make Graham Karen?
Yes.
I do feel like Graham's did not. Like, I really don't. I really feel like. I don't know why. I mean, I don't have like a reason specifically to feel like that, but I don't think we ever even did we ever see her and Daryl in a room at the same time except for Piper's wedding. And no, he wasn't either Wiccaning. So except for Piper's wedding, did we ever see Daryl and Graham's in a room
probably
together?
Oh no, yeah, remember?
And in a ring?
Timbuktu.
Oh yeah, when he knocked the man over the head, he was like, you've been through enough. Because, you know, sometimes he would take breaths after he would talk. And he
Graham's
was like,
that's a good darkie right there.
Graham's was like, thank you for helping out my girl. Do you think you could maybe bring me a cup of tea? And he's like, I don't understand why you're asking me that. Well, isn't that why you're here? Like, don't you come clean up on Wednesdays? Like, it was, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm mad.
I have no reason to believe it.
You saying Graham was behind them segregation lines, spitting on them little girls trying to get to school. Right, that's what you're saying.
When they go back to the past, the goggle boots, how many black witches did you see at that party?
Exactly.
Have they ever checked on that black boy from season one?
But how many black women died in the episode? Because you know if there was a black witch at that party, she'd have been dead.
But we understand why I won none there, because that many people getting together in one place, I'm good, thank you.
A black woman would have been like, no, thanks.
I'm good.
What y'all trying to do?
Because something ain't sitting right in my spirit. You know black folks anyway, Will. Something ain't sitting right in our spirit. We ain't going to do it. Who are all going to be over there? And then you'd be like, Robin, that's all I need to know. Never mind.
And see Leo playing the clouds and be like, you know what? There it is, the drugs. I'm out.
I heard about you.
Well, okay. Now I know. I don't know. There's one particular part in my past makes me side-eyed a little bit, because I feel like they were trying to be inclusive, and so they got like drag queens and then a black drag queen, and they had like black people in the house, and I was like, so you telling me Tyka's past life was letting them in? Okay. Give me some more of that yellow water, Jake.
Crew was letting them in. Piper was too busy going between Dan and Leo to like really pay attention.
And Phoebe was just sleeping with
them. I feel like it was past Phoebe. I feel like it was Phoebe's past life that was cool with everybody. Like,
because she was
drag
a whore?
Queens, black people, like whoever. No, well, kind of. I mean, because she's open. Like, she's open to the world and people.
Her needs are.
And so, like. And so she was like, she didn't judge. And I feel like that's why they were there. I feel like they were there for her. I had to go get my herbs. I can't very well make my potions without them. I was like, why are we just moving the bottom part of our face? What is happening? See? What is happening here?
Oh,
what
man.
Is happening?
on that beautiful note, I feel that. Is there any, you know, last thoughts, comments, concerns about season four?
I will say that. If you don't care for Paige, don't like Paige, hate Paige, whatever, I do think it is worth it to think about the difference in the Piper and Phoebe from season four that she encountered versus the ones that we know and love from seasons one through three. Huh? Those are different people.
All right.
Well, that we know. Those are different. They're completely different people, different characters. They had this major life change. And so Paige is wanting to get to know the version of them that we know.
Mm.
And those versions are not accessible to her. So
I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do 60-second initial thoughts on TikTok. I don't ever do TikTok. But for you, for season four, I'm going to do 60-second initial thoughts on Paige for these 22 episodes. You got to hold me accountable.
Okay. I love that you asking me because I'm going to forget. But okay, I'm going to make sure I try to remember.
We're
going to
do it. And I'm going to because it's rough out there. It's rough. And I.
But you know what? I think that's part of why she is my favorite character, because I can acknowledge her flaws as a character. But then also what I like about her. And I think that's what makes an experience with a show so special, is when you can see the good and the bad and be like, you know what? I'm going to stand by this person.
Phoebe is making it hard for me right now to stand by her after the last episode. I was distraught. I was disturbed. I was like, this is not how I remembered it going down.
This is not my girl. This is not who I remember. When you said that you remembered like Leo, I think like Phoebe and Leo going down there and sad. What did you say? You said you remember something completely different happening while they were down there?
I remembered them going down there to go and talk to the source, basically. I don't remember her going down there with Cole to go fuck Cole. I thought her and Cole were on a mission to help stop Shax. So, like, rewatching it in my head and that moment where she was like, oh, I don't know if this demon's alive or dead, but I gotta get my man peace, bitches. Y'all got this. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait, no. I was like, my girl's the reason why her sister's dead. And I know, I mean, we all know that Phoebe ain't really like Prue, right? But I was like, no, girl, no.
Right. Well, it's no secret that Prue and I fought sometimes.
But I watched it and I was like talking to the screen and everything. When Leo was like, yeah, you know, if I go down there, you guys can't call for me. You guys can't call for me. And Papa's like, what's the worst thing? I texted her and I was distraught. I was a hoe gone home.
Just disturbed.
A hoe gone home.
And with that, some witches be hoes.
That's a movie.
We just looked up and got a 3-for-1. A hoe, a witch, and Phoebe. Mm-hmm. All in one.
Wait, but before we do let you go, where can our listeners find you? Plug your socials.
You can find me everywhere at They Call Me Mr. G. Pretty much if there is a platform, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, you can find me there at They Call Me Mr. G.
Don't you have a Patreon too?
I do have a Patreon. It's called Power of G. And I give my members early access to videos. They get a chance to be in our GroupMe group chat, which it goes down basement. And we just... But yeah, and they get to vote on polls. We have like a birthday spreadsheet, aww, things of that nature. Like, yeah, we're cutting up. Ooh. We're cutting up in the Power of G.
Look at you.
We have merchandise too.
Oh, bougie.
Yeah. Oh, baby. Listen, I got to take the pins out of here, but yeah, we got
that. Merch.
I like the polka.
I should have worn my shirt.
It's cute.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My mama got me this for Christmas. Aww.
Pika, pika. I will be dropping the recipe to Bewitching Hour. It is the Charmed inspired cocktail, you know, on Thursday. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, then tomorrow. So yeah, it's delicious and has a bunch of witchy, you know, properties.
Ooh.
No, these are my migraine glasses. Because once again, I'm trying to get Zenni to sponsor us.
A purr. What do we need to do? Let me know.
Every time I mention them, I'm just gonna clip. I'm gonna clip it and like make it a TikTok or an Instagram post.
I just tag
them.
I'm telling you, I got the candles. I got some sticks. I'm not making a pentagram because that's dark sided, but we can figure something out. Whatever we got to do to make it shake.
You know what? This was fun.
I think that's it, guys.
We'll see you. Okay, now we're officially going on break because somebody's going to go on vacation. When they're going to go travel, not vacation.
Vacation? I'm going to work.
I was trying to put all your business out there, but fine. Yeah, somebody has to go travel for work.
Well, I had already said at the beginning of the episode that I have work travel, so yeah. It's okay.
Well, please be safe on your travels.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Well, I know you're about to go live, so, you know, go have fun with your group, your friends. Go talk shit about, you know, how we don't like you.
No, everyone was trying to encourage me because I was like, they hate me. And, like, literally people be like, no, they don't. I'm sure they love you. Because there was one particular day, I'm going to shut up after I say this. I don't know who it was on the account, but somebody like came into the live and I was like, oh my God, Black Girl Charmed. And then like
me.
Just disappeared.
That
I was
me.
Like,
you
have that
was
I promise you, I was, yeah, I talked about that for 5 minutes.
No, it wasn't that. I was doom scrolling and it got stuck. And I was like, damn, I'm not presentable to me in anybody's live right now. My voice sounds like shit. I'm gonna just hop on out of there. Hopefully, because your lives be jumping. Hopefully, like, you didn't notice it, but apparently you did.
I noticed when, like, people that I look up to and love. Because, okay, let me say this before we get done, because I really want to say this. I love that y'all do this, because hearing the show from, hearing it from a Black man's perspective is one thing, but hearing it from a Black woman's perspective is a whole different thing. So I just want to say thank y'all for sharing your thoughts and just for being yourselves. And I really, really mean it, especially because, like I said earlier, we don't necessarily always have a place to talk about things like this. So thank you for creating it.
Thank you for listening. We wouldn't be here without you guys. So I really appreciate it. You can't
see the tears behind these Zenny migraine glasses.
You should just move them to the side, but not too far. Because they perfectly protect your eyes from the UV rays and the harmful lights that come from the world. I was going to like try to do a
Ken triangle, but all I have is a K95.
I feel like that would have scratched like everything on your face. That would have just made the situation 10 times worse. It would have just been like, girl, go to the hospital. Going to the hospital so the demons can do what they're gonna do.
This was fun. I'll put more claps in the episode because Riverside won't let me do it, but the other app does. Okay. If you listen to the audio, you get no claps. Watch it on YouTube, you get claps.
Tell me. I don't know if you gotta
act like you got some sense
to watch it on YouTube or Spotify. You know, rate, review, love us.
Mm-hmm. And we will. I will. And then I'm going to make sure everyone else
does. Don't worry. When I clip this and put it on the Tiki Talkie, I'm going to be like, all right, guys, y'all can stop tagging us. We know each other. The worlds have collided. All right?
And I can stop being thirsty because this is dramatic. And you don't have to put this in here. This is just me talking, y'all. But, and I know y'all got places to be. trying to be a man, but I really wanted to like collaborate more with people and then also learn more about how to properly host a podcast, mm-hmm. how to speak, how to share my thoughts and things like that. When I discovered y'all, I was like, oh, I love them because you get out what you have to get out, but you're also enthusiastic with it and you have that good mix of it and you work very well with each other. Seemingly, I don't know. Y'all could cuss each other out every day and I don't know because I'm not behind the scenes, but
not because each other out on air.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. So it's authentic, but as I've discovered that I do get thirsty sometimes because I'm very, once I make up my mind, I'm gonna do something. I'm like, I got to do it. But I appreciate y'all taking the time to, you know, talk with me just because it's like, I learned so much from tonight and I learned how to, cause I have ADHD and baby.
I'm medicated.
Oh, her. Well, there you go. You get it.
It
really taught me how to, even within staying on topic, still just be myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited, and that's why I was so excited about working with y'all for so long. I was like,
oh, that makes my heart happy. Yes. I'm gonna put it on my mood board now.
I'm gonna be on someone's mood board, and it's actually gonna be legal for me to be there at this time.
Oh. You know what?
No, I'm definitely glad that you decided to come and chat with us. We were like, how can we bring you in? Because I do watch you.
I mean, I don't be doing nothing. I linger.
Let it linger. Sorry.
I was just thinking that, but I didn't want to bust out a song. We were doing so well.
You know what? On that note, we are officially leaving you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.